football on off the ball.
I think they can go and win it. They're a very, very difficult team to beat. They don't lose an awful lot of games. I think Morocco are better than Germany. I think people have said to me they fancy Germany as dark horses. People have said they fancy Ecuador, or I personally fancy Colombia as a bit of a dark horse. I think Morocco are ahead of all those teams.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Ball, GAA.
I'm delighted to be joined by Amy Mackin, who's appearing at the launch of McKeever as the official apparel partner of the GPA. Amy, how are you keeping?
Not too bad. How are you?
Very good, thank you. You're keeping a keen eye on Leinster Rugby and Croke Park there, I hear.
Captain's run's happening here now, so I haven't seen much rugby now myself, but it's good to get a close eye on what a professional sort of environment's like.
I'm saying you could probably go and give them some tips on how to kick a ball in Croke Park. Sam Prendergast might be looking for something.
Oh, I don't know. I'd say he could give me a few tips more than I could, but no, it's class, obviously, to see them out there. That's where we're just saying the pitch. It's weird seeing the pitch as a rugby ground and how they'll turn it around now ahead of the Gaelic weekend.
Yeah, it looks like a bit smaller, you're saying. Does it? Like I wonder, is that because you're used to seeing the oval as well with the goalposts, like?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it's so much more narrower and smaller than what I would have thought. But yeah, no, it's cool, obviously, to see them out doing their stuff as well.
Those rugby lads have it easy with the small pitch.
Yeah.
Before I get into chatting about even the round robin series for this year and the provincial seasons, the 2026 Division 1 league this year was absolute bedlam from start to finish, really, wasn't it? Didn't it pave a way for a real competitive season that we're having? I know you missed the start of it, but did it feel as chaotic in the midst of training and playing the games?
Yeah, no, definitely. I think the way teams were probably sitting in the league as well, it sort of matches now how the championship's going, and you know, everyone can beat anyone nearly, and obviously Cork, Waterford. I know Cork and Galway were in the final, but Waterford really stood out as well. So yeah, it was real. It was an exciting league. And yeah, as I say, it was like every weekend it was unpredictable. You didn't know who was going to beat who. So I suppose that's healthy for competition as well.
Especially coming down to the last day, there was so much on the line. Yourselves, you snatched a draw against Meath, like maintaining your Division 1 status for next year, and you know, keeping a couple of other teams afloat as well.
Yeah, it was funny because like we were saying, we've never actually been in that environment where, you know, you had to stay up or on the last day and a draw would settle it. So it was kind of, it was strange, but it's obviously good practice, I think. And yeah, there's a lot at stake. Obviously, we wanted to keep Division 1 status, and you want to be playing them teams every week in the league. So yeah, it was great for us. And yeah, I think it was an exciting finish for the LGFA, because I'm not sure I've seen that too many times where it went down to the last game over the last few years.
And absolutely at no stage could you pick who was going to beat who, because it was changing week on week. And I know that probably had a lot to do with the new rules, but does it also speak to the fact that a lot of teams are now just at the basic same level as each other?
Yeah, I think exactly that. And you can probably see it in the men's game too. It's like the development in counties now has grown so much. You probably take learnings from the likes of Dublin, who were so successful over the last number of years just previously. And yet just a lot of teams now, their development with maybe underage structures and their senior teams has been so good. So it's healthy. I think it's a healthy environment, and it's exciting, and it makes it competitive. And as a player, that's what you want. Like, you want good, strong games that go down to the wire.
As someone who's involved with coaching, would you always be very interested in the development side of things? And maybe if you're looking at a player that's achieved something on an adult scale, how they came to that, like as a younger player?
Yeah, definitely. As a younger player, definitely. I remember you'd be watching games. I remember Colin Cooper, obviously, watching him, and at halftime we'd be out in the garden trying to recreate, you know, what he did, which was good for us because you're trying to learn maybe off the best. But I think still to this day you're doing it, you know, you're watching players that are in your position, male or female, and you take wee snippets of what they're doing. And then, as I say, you're constantly developing as a player yourself. So yeah, it's just you try to put it into practice, and some days it works for you, some days it doesn't. But I think it's just that work rate that you're always trying to improve.
Was there a soft spot for Colin Cooper because he was a lefty as well?
Yeah, loved it. I actually met him then. I was a bit starstruck when I met him a couple of years later. He was in at my secondary school. So, yeah, I think just watching him was class. And he was probably small in nature, but what he could do, like, against some real tough, strong defenders was brilliant.
Yeah, it's something that we're seeing coming back into the game a little bit more now. We saw it in the men's and as well with the ladies' game with the rule changes, that movement and maybe a smaller in stature corner forward, they might have been just like blocked out of a game before because you could have four or five defenders around them, but it's coming back into vogue now, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. I think the pace of the game's quickened a lot that I've noticed, and obviously it's a lot more 1v1 battles, so yeah, there's a wee bit more space, although it's still hard when you're still in the 12v12 structure, but it's still maybe just that 1v1 battle that's brought back to life as such. As you said, maybe previously you would have had a couple more defenders around you or in one position. So yeah, it's sort of brought back that art, I suppose, of defending as well, and taking a player on.
Is there a particular defender either playing now or gone past that you'd really not like to come up against?
Yeah, most defenders are really tough, especially at the highest level. So you're always having great battles over the years. Probably the Dublins, the Corks. I remember when I first started, like Corks, and I was only maybe 18, and having the experience of Cork players marking you. So I think you learn so much, and you learn so much off each defender, because there's defenders defend really differently, as well as in our own team. You're up coming up against Clodagh, McCambridge, Lauren McConville, which is really tough. So every night at training, you're getting marked by really top people. So, yeah, you're always trying to maybe get a wee yard or two away, which is tough as well. So you're thinking about how you're moving, and then sometimes it's just instinct of what you feel is right. So, no, it's been great. Obviously, the Dublins, I remember Sinead Goldrick, real tough defender, so, and played with her then in Australia in the Aussie Rules, and I knew how tough she was when I seen her over there. Yeah, so I think everyone in Australia was afraid of her because she could tackle more.
Do you think you've brought, I know it's probably a question you've been asked a lot, but with the increase in physicality, were you able to bring a lot more back from Australia than if that hadn't been allowed?
Yeah, probably an element of it is. I think the biggest bit of contact over there was how you fend off a player. So they really practice on how you fend off a player to avoid getting tackled, which you can maybe do over here, which was a big thing. And then obviously the tackle over there is a lot different to over here. It's like rugby. I could learn a few things out here, but it's like a rugby tackle. So you take a wee bit of information, and it's how they go about things, which I think is really good over there, with how you develop skills and put so much emphasis on skills, which is massive over there, and the time you can put into it, which adds to the lifestyle they have, and it being professional definitely makes it easier to do compared to over here.
I've heard you speaking before on the GAA Social podcast saying that when you had an injury to one leg, instead of just maybe sitting out and rehabbing, you just learned to kick with the other leg.
Yeah, I think, yeah, I got injured in Australia. I hurt my ankle. So I remember I was sitting, I'd just done my rehab in the gym, and one of the coaches grabbed me. And to be fair, a lot of it is maybe on your coach as well. Like, my coach grabbed me and took me out, and we kicked off my other foot, which shows the type of people they are too. And they're always trying to push you. And then, yeah, it gives you that wee thought in your head, oh, this is something I could do a lot more of. So I think I had maybe 2 weeks out with the ankle. So, yeah, one of the coaches, to be fair, took time out of their day and out of their session to kick the ball back to me, which is always very helpful and probably goes unnoticed too. So yeah, she started it off and helped try to develop my other side. I know.
Do you think it's something that we can overlook sometimes in, like, in Gaelic football and hurling and camogie as well? We get so into the details of one percentages and strategies that we can sometimes forget about the simple things about learning to use your weaker foot, or even learning how to hand pass off your weaker hand, and how beneficial that is.
Yeah, it's massive. And I actually talked about it earlier, the benefit of like cross-coding sports when you're growing up, and like basketball, I played a bit of soccer, so it helps develop like your foot and how you kick. And I think it all adds into one. But definitely, yeah, over there, now I get it, we have less time because it's professional sport over there, so they definitely have more time to get more emphasis on it, and collectively together. But yeah, it's a big part of their lifestyle over there, is honing in on the basic skills and getting constant touches of the ball, which we need one percenters and you need to practice that. But definitely, like, your basic skills of the game are so important in critical times. So yeah, we try to constantly sort of develop that either before training or after training. And the biggest thing what I found was, I know over here we can maybe look to our shooting or our hand passing, but they actually worked a lot on, like, ground balls and picking the ball up at speed or with a wee bit of contact on you. So it's them wee differences was massive, and high catch was massive, just because the game and how it plays out over there. But yeah, definitely the practicing of maybe all them skills of catching, picking it up. And we maybe don't do as much of it when you get a wee bit older. You more so look at your shooting and your kicking. But yeah, it's something that they spend a lot of time on.
I think saying that you played a little bit of soccer is very humble on your behalf, Amy. Are you keeping a bit of an eye on the World Cup?
Yeah, definitely. We have a couple of nephews who've just taken mad into the World Cup there. So it's tough with the games, the times they're at. You don't get to watch them all. But yeah, no, I love when it's like the sporting events over the summer. It's great, I think, when you're into sport that you have something to watch on the TV.
And you just mentioned the shooting. I was going to ask, is the two-pointer something that you've set out to really practice yourself? Do you kind of put time before or after training? So I know yourself and Blaheen, you've both notched up a couple this season. Or is it just something that you let play out as a game happens?
Probably in the game, it's something, yeah, you definitely let play out. There's factors obviously contribute to that, and with wind or whatever, what way you're playing. So in the game, probably it's more just a wee bit of instinct, and it's definitely a benefit. Like, a two-pointer is a massive plus on the scoreboard. But yeah, I think in training then you just maybe get a wee bit of time to practice it. Sometimes it goes for you, sometimes it doesn't. But yeah, I suppose in a game scenario, it's probably just more how it plays out and how it feels. I know you wouldn't want to be kicking too many in case they go short. So yeah, it's probably a wee bit of practice in game management, I suppose, as well.
Is it something that you've found has, like, this, the situation has opened up for you, and maybe because it's not instinct to go, oh, I'll get 2 points for this, you're not shooting? Is that something that might take a little bit of time for you to get used to, that, oh, if I take a pot here, it'll actually be a huge advantage?
Yeah, it actually is something, because I laughed. It happened in one of the games and I actually forgot it was 2 points. And it was a couple of seconds after I kicked it, I realised, I need to tell the ref it's 2 points, but she had already signaled. So I nearly forgot. I forgot it was any different, I suppose, because it was from a free kick, I think. So, yeah, it didn't come to me quick. It didn't come to me first thing. I just took the free kick and I forgot all about it. And then I realised, I was like, no, that's two. And then the ref had already signaled. So she knew already. She had it. She, as long as she remembered, that was the most important thing, because I definitely wouldn't have.
I'd say you're probably the only player in the country that would forget that they're after kicking the two-pointer, Amy, in fairness to you.
I suppose it probably was just in that moment, not looking at it too much or thinking too much. I just probably thought it was just settling myself and just thought of a free kick instead of maybe what the score was going to be.
If I chat to you now a little bit about championship this year, the league was definitely a kind of a telling sign as to how competitive it was going to be. And you're drawn into the group with Cork and Waterford, and from a neutral's eye and from anyone else looking, it probably is, that's a little bit of a group of death, you know, and it's come to the fore, and that in the three other groups, you've got Kerry, Dublin and Galway, they have all secured their quarterfinal spot, but it's all to play for in group one. Can you chat to me just a little bit about the game against Cork down in Parky Rin? First of all, how did you travel? Did you fly, train, drive?
No, just bus. Yeah, so the bus, got the bus up. Yeah, no, obviously we knew it was a big test going up to Cork and how well they'd done in the league. And no matter what year it is, you know, Cork's always going to be there, thereabouts. So it was a tough game. Yeah, it was real. It was a windy day. So I suppose we just were looking at our performance and how we go after that and what we can control, which is probably it's the same routine in most games. Obviously in championship it gets a wee bit more heated and there's a lot more at stake, but I suppose just going after what we can control and our own performance was the biggest thing. And yeah, you just sort of let the result take care of itself, and if you're in it on the day then that's it. But Yeah, I suppose every game then you just look to the next one, and that was going to be Waterford, and we know how tough Waterford are. They've beat us in the league the last 2 years, and they beat us in the championship last year. So it's such a tough game always against them physically, and they have great pace and great forwards. So yeah, I suppose it's been an exciting championship for the neutral, but yeah, we're looking forward to the game this weekend.
With the Cork and Waterford game at the weekend, were you keeping a close eye on that? They were 6 points down with 3.5 minutes to go, and Cork come away with the win. So that means that Waterford's game against you now this Saturday is must win. Does that add an extra element? I know you're not guaranteed a final at all either, but if Waterford lose, they're definitely out. So they're going to be coming up all guns blazing.
Yeah, exactly. We know there's a lot at stake, but I suppose it's the same way we would have treated it before Cork and Waterford played. We knew it was just a big game, and the next game for us and the one we can control was Waterford. So Cork and Waterford, obviously, you analyse every game, but yeah, I suppose we're just looking to ours, and yeah, we're just looking forward to it and just trying to work hard and improve on what happened against Cork. We've done things in Cork game which we'd like to improve on as well, so you're just going after them. We small things, details in every game, and yeah, it's gonna be hopefully a good game.
It's the middle of the summer, the weather is coming and going in good spurts. Is it a really enjoyable time to be playing inter-county football?
Yeah, exactly. I think it's an enjoyable time playing when the weather's nice, and you know you're in the championship season. So there's a lot to look forward to, obviously, and big games to watch too. It's just to enjoy sport in general with the men's and the ladies' games. So yeah, it's exciting to obviously be at this stage of the year, and you know the winter can be long with all the training and in the league, so it can be long. So it's nice to get to this part of the season.
We've got a bit of a fixtures clash this weekend. So you're playing Waterford at home in Armagh at 3 o'clock on Saturday, and the Kerry men's team have been drawn away to Kerry. That's kicking off at 4 o'clock in Killarney. Your brother Kieran is on the Armagh panel. How are family loyalties going to be divided this Saturday?
Yeah, I don't know if they've fully decided what way they're going to go. So yeah, we'll see if they stick around in Armagh or head to Kerry. So yeah, it's a big weekend probably for both codes, and it's exciting obviously too. With this time of the year, there's a lot at stake in these games. So yeah, I'm not sure which way they're going yet, whether they're staying at home or they're going to Kerry. But we'll find out, I'm sure, over the next few days.
Will there be a falling out now if they decide one or the other and someone gets a victory and someone doesn't?
No, not at all, not at all. First and foremost, we're all Armagh supporters, so regardless of the ties of connections with family in it, so we want both teams obviously to do well, and they're the same. So no, they'll be supporting us both. Maybe the trip to Armagh seems a lot shorter than the trip to Kerry, so we'll see.
Just in terms of this team at the moment and this group of players, you've been so close in the last couple of years, you know, winning the league, losing out to Kerry then in the semi-final. But you've stayed injury-free, touch wood, so far this year. There's nothing to say that this Armagh team can't go all the way, sure there's not.
Yeah, well, I suppose every team dreams of winning all, every competition you're involved in. So I suppose for us, it's just going after what we've done all year, is just looking for performances. And I know there's going to be every county that's going to get through to a quarterfinal is all fighting for the same thing. So yeah, it'll be exciting games this weekend, obviously, with quarterfinal places up for grabs. So yeah, it's the race between every county to see who gets their hands in it. But we just work hard and focus on ourselves and try to keep improving and developing and going after our own performances. And yeah, yes, just see where it takes us.
Is there a good buzz up in Armagh at the moment now as well, leading into such a super weekend?
Yeah, I'm sure there is. I know we're just probably involved in our own setups and our own team, and you're controlling what you can control. So I'm sure between supporters, they're all looking forward to the games at hand.
And just finally, Amy, I spoke to Blaheen when she was receiving her Player of the Month award a couple of months ago, and she spoke about how excited your dad was for you all to be back home playing not just county but club football specifically this year, and it nearly made me want to go out and tog out for Shane O'Neill's. Is that something that you're also looking forward to?
Yeah, definitely. I know we were talking between our own ourselves at the club, and it's been like 5 years, 4 or 5 years since we've all been together and playing. And yeah, I suppose you grow up in the club, and I know Dad's heavily involved with the club and always has been, but yeah, no, we're looking forward to when the time comes to get back in the green jersey for a while. So yeah, no, it'll be exciting when that comes.
Amy, thank you so much for chatting to us today, and best of luck at the weekend.
No bother, thank you.
Off the ball, GAA.